Andrew Beckwith, and welcome to Clubhouse Conversations.
They come from all corners of the world, and they descend on towns everywhere. Burlington, North Carolina, Idaho Falls, Idaho, Lexington, Kentucky, Wilmington, Delaware, Springdale, Arkansas, Papillion, Nebraska, and Kansas City, Missouri. What do all these men have in common? They work together to win. It's time to talk to another Royal on Clubhouse Conversation.
And here we are. It's 10:45 p.m. on Trade Deadline Day. It's come and gone, July 31st of 2018. And I'm Dave O. Glad you're along for another edition of Clubhouse Conversation, the place where we catch up with all your favorite current and former Royals players. Encourage everyone listening to follow us on Twitter at Royals Clubhouse. We're very active on the Twitter, talking current and former Royals. Also on Facebook, Clubhouse Conversation as well. You can find me, Dave O'Brien, on Facebook on top of that. So here's the deal. I'm very excited tonight here. Tuesday, July 31st. It was exactly a week ago tonight. Flashback to last Tuesday, July 24th. My first ever trip to Wilmington, Delaware to watch the Blue Rocks. Got them crossed off the list. Now that I know you can fly into Philly and it's only about a 45-minute drive to the Frawley Stadium in Wilmington, I may be making that a yearly trip from here on out. Awesome facilities there. But it was last Tuesday night. I'm sitting in the crowd, and I'd been hoping to see Andrew Beckwith pitch. He'd been doing fantastic ever since being with Idaho Falls last year after the Royals took him in the 32nd round of the 2017 draft. And then earlier this year was in Lexington, a guy who throws both down under, submarine slash sidearm, also over the top. And I wanted to see what he was all about. He had the numbers and, you know, had dominated in the College World Series, a part of the Coastal Carolina World Championship team in 2016. Was the most outstanding player in Omaha. Somehow he lasted till the 32nd round. I'm going to ask him how the hell that happened coming up here in a few minutes as he joins us. But, you know, I was excited to see him pitch. I sat front row there in Wilmington, blew hitters away, absolutely destroyed them in two perfect innings. And I was just so excited. I posted a tweet that same night. If you go back and look at Royals Clubhouse with a photo of him pitching and everything. And I had to get him on the show here after that. So I'm happy to speak with him. It's a guy you don't read a lot yet about on prospect list, but a guy that will be showing up on Royals prospect list probably as soon as this winter. Certainly belongs there. Andrew Beckwith, who joins us now on Clubhouse Conversation with Wilmington. They're on the road. I don't even know how you say the town they're in right now. The newest member of the Carolina League, somewhere in North Carolina. It's a French town name. We'll ask him about that as he joins us now after tonight's night game on Clubhouse Conversation. Andrew, first of all, you know, thanks a lot for the time. And second of all, how's everything going with you?
It's good. You know, living a dream, playing baseball for a living, playing baseball for my job. I mean, you can't ask for anything better than that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the best. Those who can play do it, and those who can't interview baseball players, right? That's how I look at it. Hey, I played some varsity baseball in high school way back in the day. So, okay, so where are you guys at exactly, by the way? That's a new team in the Carolina League, isn't it?
Yeah, we're in, I guess the city is Bowie Creek, North Carolina. It's actually, we're at the field where the Campbell, Fighting Camels play. Big South.
Yeah.
We actually played them in college my first 3 years. So, I mean, it's a familiar surface and stadium, so.
Well, okay, where exactly is that? What's the nearest, like, city we've heard of?
I'll pull up my maps right now. We'll tell you in a second. We are in Dunn, North Carolina.
Wonder where that is. Is that near, like, more like Raleigh, or is it Charlotte, or, like, what area of North Carolina? Greensboro? Where are we talking?
It's just northeast of Fayetteville and straight south of Raleigh.
Oh.
I'm gonna say about an hour of Raleigh.
So you're not that far from the Outer Banks, a couple hours maybe?
Yeah, I'd say about an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Yeah, okay. I used to live in North Carolina for a couple of years doing radio down there, so love that state. All right, so, man, I was a little bit worried the other night. I saw you come out of the game on my app with an injury, quote-unquote. What was that, and is everything okay with you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm ready to go tomorrow. I was ready today, but we had an off day, which kind of helped. I threw a fastball, and a righty turned it around on me and hit a line drive back at my knee.
Ooh.
I actually went to the ground and thought it was my kneecap at first, but it was actually my – I don't know which one's in front, either your tibia or fibula, but it hit my the bone pretty much directly on.
Ooh. Yikes. Is that the first time that's ever happened to you, ever?
Maybe not the first line drive. It was definitely the lowest line drive hit back at me. I think that's why I didn't get any part of my glove on it. But But no, it's definitely I definitely haven't had a ball hit back to me in years, so I guess I was due for that one.
Well, hopefully it's out of the way for a long time.
So
belated congrats, man, on your promotion last week. I guess it's been, what, maybe 8 days since you got up to Wilmington. How excited are you to be a part of the Blue Rocks?
Oh, it's awesome. It's a great experience. And, you know, Lexington was awesome. Lexington was great. I mean, from the guys to the coaching staff to all the Rovers coming in town, you know, it's besides the rain every other day, I felt like, and it followed us. I mean, Lexington was great. We had a little bit of rain in Wilmington, but, I mean, weather's perfect. I'm sure it'll get cold here in the next month to half a month. But Wilmington's a great place. I have family up in Maryland, so other parts of my family will get to see me play, hopefully. And, you know, it's, like I said, it's baseball. We're playing baseball for a living. Anywhere is fine with me.
Yeah, well, it was a week ago tonight where I'm in Kansas City, so I go to, you know, Northwest Arkansas every year, Omaha every year. They're both about a three-hour drive, but it was my first time going to Wilmington ever, so I flew in. It was a week ago tonight that you made your Wilmington debut, and I was there, man. I got to see you from the front row behind home plate. Was blown away by the stuff, the ease you dominated the Salem Red Sox, two perfect innings. So 99% of people listening to this have never seen you throw before. So kind of give us a scouting report. What pitches do you feature? And then where's the velo at, where you sit and top out at?
You know, I throw a fastball, a slider, what I like to call a slider, and a changeup over the top. And then I also throw from a sidearm slot. It's fastball, slider. And I throw a fastball and slider from that slot. So, you know, I've played around with a curveball, a cutter. I don't think I have the right arm slot for a curveball, and my cutter never really cut, so I had to go to the slider. And it's been all right for me. I just throw so many pitches out of the pen. It's tough to throw more than one pitch twice or three times in an outing.
That makes sense. Where's the velo at then?
So the velo right now is about going ahead and giving my scouting report away, but it's like it's been 87, 88, touching 90 down low, and then I guess I didn't see it my last outing, but the outing before it was 90, 91 over the top.
Okay.
Maybe touching a two.
Okay. Well, I was going to ask you, too. So what percent of the time do you actually throw overhand versus underhand? And then do you ever worry about tipping pitches, you know, from doing that?
No. I mean, it's really the catchers in Lexington kind of got used to calling my sidearm rather than over the top, or over the top rather than my sidearm. But here, I mean, I've only thrown to Valoria twice. And, you know, it's, I guess if they know fastball's coming, if the catcher knows fastball coming, it doesn't really matter whether I throw it over the top or down low. As long as I don't throw something other than the fastball, then they get crossed up. But, I mean, the velos are almost identical, and I think they can, as long as they know fastball's coming, it's all right. But, I mean, it's probably 60-40 sidearm,
okay.
I'd say.
That's
rare.
That.
I don't throw. I guess if I went back and looked at how many I threw sidearm rather than how many I threw at the top. But I mean, they don't even keep track of when I throw sidearm or when I don't. So
I'm trying to think who else does that. Like both. I'm trying. Is there anybody else? I can't off the top of my head think of anybody that does that in pro ball. Have you seen anybody else do that?
No, I have no idea. I know the closest sidearm guy to me is. Have you ever heard the name Joe Smith? He was with the Cardinals, with the Astros.
Yeah, he used to be with the Indians back in the day. Yeah.
Yeah, been with the Indians back in the day. I would say my arm slot is most like him.
Okay.
Over the top, though, I've seen guys where they might be ahead or it's a long at bat, and I've seen sidearm guys go back over the top and maybe for like one fastball just to like show a hitter different. But I mean, I haven't seen anyone do both on regularly.
Do you ever study Pat Neshek at all?
I have. I've watched him. I was actually watching I think he's with the Phillies now, right?
Yeah, he is. Yep.
Yeah, I was watching the Phillies game after our game tonight, and he was warming up in the pen. But, yeah, I have seen him, and I've seen the guy from the Diamondbacks, the older guy. What's his name?
Not Braden. What the heck is that? I know who you're talking about. I should know that.
He's been there forever. Yeah. I have no idea.
Okay. All right. So the funky, you know, submarine, I guess, delivery, it's extremely unique, deceptive. So you always hear guys that have that. Some of them got it because they got injured and it was easier on their arm or their back, or some of them, you know, just were messing around one day and did it. So how did you come up with that? Did it just feel better, or who was behind you doing that, and how long have you been doing it for?
So I had a pitching coach who's now the head coach of my high school team.
Okay.
My sophomore year of high school. And I was throwing like 84, 85 as a sophomore in high school. And my pitching coach said, like, hey, you're athletic enough. Like, we want you, you throw enough strikes where we want you on varsity as a sophomore. And I was like, okay, well, like, what's holding me back? And they're like, well, you know, what if we tried dropping down? Like, we feel like you're athletic enough. We feel like your arm slot could do both. And I want to say it was like 3 weeks before the season started, he told me this. And so I started throwing sidearm. Like, I tried it out one day, just threw like 10 balls off the mound, sidearm. I was like, well, yeah, I kind of like it, but can I like throw over the top still too? They're like, yeah, yeah, like, we don't see a problem with that as long as you throw strikes for both. So 9 saves later as a sophomore in high school, you play, what, 26 games total maybe? I mean, I just kept with it, and velo kept going up, and was 90, 91 in college, touched a 3 my senior year over the top, and then sidearm. I was throwing 2 seams all of my college career, so my velo I felt like was never up. And then I talked to a guy, my last name Vasquez, in our organization, who throws 98, 99 from down low. And I like had a 10-minute conversation with him about how he holds the slider, how he throws it, how he throws his fastball. He never throws 2 seams. And I was like, okay, well, maybe I'll just hold the 4 seam like I do over the top and try. And I've actually sacrificed some movement for velo, which I've actually felt like I've had a lot more success than I did last year. Maybe not as many strikeouts, but I definitely feel like a lot of hitters are taking more 0-2 swings, and it's 0-0 in the count, 0-1, 1-0 in the count. So it's nice.
Good. Again, you're missing the barrel too. Oh, by the way, it was Brad Ziegler, right? The guy in the Diamondbacks?
Yeah, Brad Ziegler.
Yeah. I wanted to say Braden. I knew it was something with a B, and I finally thought of it there. Okay, so we're going to come back to 2018, talk lots more about that. But let's go way back, so let's learn about you from the beginning. So Blythewood High School in Blythewood, South Carolina. There's around, from my vast research, about 2,000 people live there. So where exactly is Blythewood, and what's that town like?
It is about 15 to 20 minutes north of Columbia.
Okay.
If you take I-77 straight up, you'll find a little town called Blythewood, South Carolina. It's actually growing now. It's, there was one light in the town.
Nice.
When I was probably 6 or 7. It's a great town. A lot of my high school friends and teammates, I mean, they go back there every year. They've more moved into the Columbia area, the more city area now. I mean, a bunch of them went to Coastal College, Charleston, South Carolina. So, I mean, a lot of guys stay near, but it's a great, great area to grow up in. I think my parents might live there the rest of their lives. So.
Oh, great. Yeah, and that's about an hour south of Charlotte, hour and 15, something like that?
Yeah, I think it's 45 minutes south of Rock Hill, and Rock Hill's, what, 15 minutes
yeah.
from Charlotte.
Did you used to go to the old Charlotte Knights game before they moved downtown there in Rock Hill, or Fort Mill?
I actually went to one, and I was very impressed. I loved the stadium. I didn't know. I thought they were just like a college summer ball team when I was growing up, and then now what? They're the AAA for the White Sox.
Yeah, they always have been. Yeah, or at least since I was there in 04. So yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool. So some more vast research. I do my research here from your high school. A couple guys in the NFL, Justin Bethel and Brandon Wilds, are from your hometown. Did you know those guys at all?
I went to. I didn't go with Bell. I went to school with Brandon Wilds. He went to South Carolina. We weren't close or anything, but he was there, and I mean, he was the star on campus.
Yeah.
And then I think the same year was Grayson Griner. He was the other star on campus, and now he's made his major league debut this year, and I'm very happy for him. I sent him a text. I don't know if he got it. He probably changed his number because of all the hype around him. But
hopefully not big league in you, man. That wouldn't be cool. Okay, so a Friday night in Blythewood. What do you do for fun there on a Friday night?
I tell you what, I haven't been there. I haven't been in Blythewood on a Friday night in forever. But probably Friday night. I mean, I guess I would maybe a high school football game, go to eat dinner at San Jose, go to a high school football game, and then finish at Chuggers, I guess. I don't know.
Okay, Chuggers. I love it. That's great. Okay, so you helped lead the baseball team to the 2013 State Baseball Championship at Blythewood then. Two-time first-team All-State. Then you were a competitive swimmer. And then the ultimate Frisbee state championship team, I hear you played a big role on that. So since high school teams have – who has teams for that? I didn't know there was teams for that.
It's not done by the Blythewood High School.
Okay, like a club type thing?
Like board or anything. There's not a coach. It's actually a league with a bunch of high schools in South Carolina that – it's a league, and like you have team captains that are pretty much the coaches, but I mean there's a trophy for it and everything. We won it back to back here, which is kind of cool.
Okay, so do you still play that, and where'd the passion come for, you know, for it?
I haven't played in forever. I think as I've gotten older, I've grown less fond of running.
Oh, that's true. Okay, yeah, like in.
But no, I mean, I think that throwing sidearm, I think that's like why I think. From throwing a Frisbee, I mean, you throw a Frisbee like you do a sidearm pitch, and I guess throwing it that way kind of helped out, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. But
it worked.
That's a good one. You say you don't like to run, like in the movie Mr. Baseball. We're not athletes. We're baseball players. Remember that line?
Yeah, exactly.
So, okay, so you went to Coastal Carolina University to play baseball. You know, what made you choose to go there?
Well, it came down to Coastal Carolina, College of Charleston, and South Carolina, who came in late. But, you know, I visited College of Charleston, loved the campus. Coaching staff was great. Monty Lee, I mean, everybody loves him at Clemson now. But, you know, Coastal Carolina fell in love with the pitching coach. He was awesome. Drew Thomas really took me under his wing. I mean, there were guys, Mike Morrison, Connor Owings from Gilbert area. Alex Cunningham from Burns, he had the option to go to Clemson, and all these guys, it's kind of like the LSU baseball team that wanted to come back for their senior year. I think Alex Lang, Poche, all of them wanted to come back and try and win it again. I mean, it's like a little version of that where you get all these small town kids that were kind of pushed away from the big D1s in South Carolina and Clemson, and you get them all together, and they love each other, they fight for each other, and then you get your Anthony Marks from PA who lights the fire on the team. But I mean, like, and then Gary Gilmore, you got one of the winningest coaches in college baseball, and I mean that program just dealt on top of the Big South every single year pretty much. And then they're making moves to the Sun Belt. Football team's coming up and coming. Basketball team's good. Volleyball team's won the Big South, the Sun Belt, back-to-back-to-back-to-back years. I mean, just a great school. I mean, and a great location. Found my fiance in Myrtle Beach, so, I mean,
nice.
You can't beat that.
Oh, well, so is Coastal Carolina going D1, 1A in football too then?
Yeah, they just did it last year.
Oh.
They had to take 2 years off, and then last year was their first year of bowl eligibility.
Oh, okay. I should have known that. Okay. Very nice. And then Matt Doherty coached there back in the day, a former North Carolina basketball coach, right? Or was that before your time, probably?
Yep, he did.
Yeah.
Now Cliff Ellis is there.
Okay. All right. So 4 years you spent there. So 2016, obviously the most memorable. So you're the Big South pitcher of the year, 15-1, 1.85 ERA, 117 innings. But that's not where it stopped, obviously. You guys made it all the way to Omaha. So in the World Series, you started 3 games, allowed just 2 earned runs in 23 2/3 innings, couple of complete games mixed in there. You were named the College World Series Most Outstanding Player. Most importantly, you guys obviously won the whole thing. So let's talk a bit about the Omaha experience. Before we get to the championship, think back to like how special it was when you first get to Omaha. You do those team gatherings, you first arrive there, and the fans kind of adopt a certain team. So when you first got to Omaha, what do you remember most about that?
Well, I'll even go back even further. I mean, the previous 2 years I was there, we didn't win the conference tournament championship, and we were like, okay, well, if we can win this, we can win a regional. So, I mean, all we kept saying was we're three dog piles away after we won the conference tournament. We were like, we're three dog piles away, regional, super regional, and then Omaha. So we get to Omaha, and it's just, like, unbelievable. You got you walk into your bedroom in the hotel, and there's stuff from Easton, from Russell, from New Balance. And then we were transferring over to Under Armour because of football. So there's, like, an Under Armour polo and Under Armour shirt or something. And then you go to all these nice restaurants. You got steakhouses, your buffets in downtown Omaha, and then to top of that, you get a parade where your team walks, all eight teams are walking down the street of Omaha. You come in from the center field fence, they introduce the teams. I don't remember if they did the players, but they did the teams, and then there's a concert, and players are sitting front row with all the fans there. You know, you think about it and you get chills, especially when you've been there, but I mean, I'm sure the fans just embrace that completely. I mean, you don't think about it until after, and it's just like everything that goes into the College World Series. I mean, it's just top tier stuff.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So you guys got there. Obviously, you expected to win it once you got there. But so think back to your freshman year then. So your program's, you know, up and coming on the rise there. But, you know, be honest, as a freshman, could you ever have dreamt that Coastal Carolina could win a College World Series?
Oh, I mean, we dreamed about it every year, but it's just like you really don't. I mean, what, there's 250 teams, 280 teams
yeah.
in the nation,
yeah.
D1, something like that. And
right.
you're just like, can you be number one? Can you be the best team to go all the way, to have the consistency, to have the resilience, to be selfless enough to make it all the way to the final game, to win your last game of your season? Because not, I mean, one team does that a year.
Right. Yeah, there ain't no NIT in college
yeah,
baseball.
Exactly.
Okay, so tell me what the celebration was like there. I mean, was there at least one car that got tipped over when you guys won it? What was that like, though, for real, when you got back?
So we won. Well, okay, so take it back 2 days before, a day before we won it all. We go to the field, throw, ends up lightning pushing the game back. The next day. Well, the next day it's a 1:15 game. Not many fans show up. They end up giving tickets to so Michael Phelps and the USA team, they had tryouts at this arena, at this swimming pool across the street from the field.
Yeah, the question.
So there's all these fans. There's all these fans in town for the swim meets or the tryouts, and the fans actually, I guess they had like work the next day. They weren't planning on an extra day, so they end up going over to the swim meet and giving tickets to fans to come over after the tryouts. So, like, we could get some fans for the baseball game. So we end up packing the stadium around the fourth, fifth inning. And we win, go back to the hotel. We do our thing. We see all of our fans in the hotel. They wish us safe travels. We get on our charter plane. We fly back in. We get there at night. And we land on the tarmac, and the plane, like, starts slowing down, and we see these, like, flashing lights. Like, what's going on? Is that, like, cops were stopping the plane or something? So then the windows get hit with a bunch of water. Well, there were two fire trucks on either side of the plane, and they were spraying water onto the plane, so we couldn't see, like, all the fans. And there ended up being, like, 3,000 fans outside the gates of the airport, which is awesome. I mean, we go over there, jump on the fences for about 20 minutes, go back, party it up, just have a great time with the boys. A bunch of students from Coastal had come back, former alumni come back, all congratulate us at the field. And then we sleep that night, come back. The next day we have a parade through downtown Conway, and then we get to see all the fans in our stadium. We end the parade at the stadium. There's 4,000 people just cheering for us. We sit down. We talk to them. They play all the walkouts of the people that talk to them. You know, it's just Conway. I mean, that's the best way to do it.
That's so cool. Okay, so is it the Chanticleers, right? What is that exactly?
The Chanticleer.
Oh, Chanticleer. What is that?
Yeah, it's a French rooster. So the Canterbury Tails, there's a Chanticleer in there.
Okay.
You could say it's like a teal gamecock.
Okay. I like it.
Yeah.
I think I'm sure it's the only one.
They broke off of South Carolina back in, 85, maybe 90. I don't remember.
Okay. So another South Carolina legend. So, I mean, you had some legendary outings, obviously, most outstanding pitcher or player, I should say, in that CWS. Another guy that had a game-winning hit from South Carolina for South Carolina, Whit Merrifield, with the Gamecocks back in the day. We've spoken with him before here in Clubhouse Conversation. But have you ever talked to him about the College World Series, or have you not met him yet?
I have not met him yet. And I've heard that – and there's another guy named Sam Selman, who was on the Vandy team that South Carolina played against.
Mm-hmm. Lefty. He's awesome.
And I guess Whit always shows off his rings to Sam, and I think that's hilarious because I got drafted in the same class that J.C. Cloney from Arizona, who, if Arizona had won, probably would have got the most outstanding player because he threw 18 scoreless innings or something like that.
Yeah, we've had Selman on. Selman's the nicest dude, by the way.
Yeah, he is. He's great. I've gotten some rides back from spring training from him. He's a great guy.
Yeah, he is a great guy.
I think he's throwing pretty well, too, in AAA.
He is. He's doing really well. He's been better at AAA since they moved him up from Northwest Arkansas. So hoping he makes his debut soon. Great guy. So you went back for your senior season at Coastal Carolina. Before we talk about that, so pardon my French, but how in the hell did you go undrafted in 2016, and then did you not get any free agent offers that were worthwhile then?
No free agent offers. Didn't get talked to. Didn't have meetings before my junior season. Didn't talk to one scout.
Why?
I don't know if it's because I didn't have a advisor. I guess you could call it, since you can't have an agent. That's still in college, but didn't talk to anyone. Didn't talk to anyone my senior year. Also, I mean, I had meetings before the fall. I guess after I blew up in Omaha, but I mean, you know, I like going under the radar. That's awesome. That's a better story.
I don't understand how that's even possible. Like, that doesn't make any sense. All right, so you went back to college last year, finished up a senior season. Obviously, it didn't go as well as the junior season, but then again, how could you really match that? So, but was it a thing where you were trying too hard last year in college, or just banged up, or just one of those years?
You know, I took like 2.5-3 months off. I mean, I threw the most innings I have in ever. So, my coach and I had a talk, and I was like, give me this time off, like, I'll be ready, I'll crush it in the weight room, and I did. My arm was ready, velo was fine, and I threw a lot of strikes, I just got hit around. I think teams came in, I mean, this couldn't be just me talking because I gave up so many runs early on in the year, but teams like West Virginia came in, Marshall or Georgia Tech, I mean, they'd come in and just hit me around, and credit to them. They were locked in against me. I mean, I'm sure they wanted to prove the nation that maybe I wasn't as good as it hyped up to be in the last part of the season in my junior year. But, you know, I'm just blessed to have gotten the opportunity that I did.
Well, you can't totally succeed till you fail some. So it's good that you got out of the way in college, you know, after you won the championship before Pro Bowl, right?
Exactly.
That's how you can look at
exactly.
it. Okay, so 32nd round of the draft, the Royals took you. Before we talk about draft day, so were the Royals, when did they kind of come on the scene? Were you kind of expecting them to take you, or what were your thoughts, you know, going into draft day with Kansas City?
Two picks before I got picked, so like the 32nd round, 900 and whatever, my area scout, I guess, for the Royals called me and he said, hey, are you trying to play baseball or are you going to go work? I was like, I'm pretty sure that's not a question. Like, why would you ever ask me that? So, I was like, obviously, I'm trying to play baseball. Like, I didn't get a shot last year, so, I mean, I'd love a shot this year. He's like, well, okay, we'll take you. We're thinking about taking you here. So I get a call, I'm at a camp at Coastal, and it's the third day of the draft, and I'm working a camp. I'm tossing front toss to these kids. I stopped watching the draft because they're in the 30th round, and then I get the call, and then they say on the loudspeaker, I think Connor Owings like says on the loudspeaker, he yells it out. He's like, Beckwith, like, you just got taken. I looked at my phone and already had so many texts. I mean, I don't know. I was playing country music to get my mind off of it because I didn't know if I'd get a shot or not. And so, you know, glory to God, I got my shot, and I thank the Royals, and, you know, and here I am.
Did you ever do a pre-draft workout at all? Go to any stadiums? I'm guessing not.
Nope, never.
Wow. And so, what a story, man. This is a great story. Okay, so then you sign and you get shipped across the country to Idaho Falls, long ways from South Carolina, obviously. You had a 2.55 ERA, 30 Ks, and 24 2/3. So pitching for the Chuckers, what was that like? What were your favorite memories of last year?
That was great. You know, we struggled a little bit. We had the highest batting average as a team in the whole minor leagues, and we're like 316 or something like that, something stupid, and we struggled to win games. I mean, you're up in that high atmosphere and in all these parks, and fences are short, and you're just, I mean, there's bombs going left and right. Like, people are, I think it's a league where a bunch of people come out of college, they're fresh off of 56 game season. I mean, you know, it's like, they're ready to go. They just got drafted. They're ready to hit. And, you know, Idaho was a great time. Very west. Not the west, most west I've been, but it's definitely, I mean, coaching staff was great. Not much to do in Idaho, but great weather. But, yeah, I mean, I went to Surprise, Arizona for a couple weeks, and then they sent a bunch of us off to either Burlington or Idaho, and finished the season in Idaho, came back, and worked my butt off in the offseason.
Yeah, I don't think it was Zuber that told me this. I think he pitched in Burlington, but somebody told me the other day, they were joking about that, how you had like an 8-0 lead in Idaho, and then like an inning later it was 9-8. Like you don't even know what happened. It just happened so quick.
You have no idea. I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, it's not even, I think one of the fences was like 280 down the right field line.
Oh my gosh!
Like 15-foot tall, and I mean, it's just—I mean, the ball flies too. It's not like you can miss hit a ball. You could hit a freaking pop up on the infield, and the jet stream takes it out. I mean, but I mean, credit to the hitters. I mean, if you can hit 350 in the league, you can. Like, you're going to.
Well,
if you're a great hitter, you will hit 350, 360. So
look at the bright side. At least you didn't get drafted by the Rockies and end up at Coors Field. It could be a lot worse, man.
Oh my goodness. Well, Wilmington's one of the largest fields in the Carolina League, I've heard. So, I mean, I've played a couple games. I have only been to Bowie Creek now,
yeah,
where we played at Campbell, and it's kind of a graveyard. But I mean, it's nice pitching in Pittsburgh for sure.
Yeah, they say the ball just dies there in the Carolina League. Maybe not this time of year, but
yeah,
maybe in April and in, you know, late August. So, you said, Lexington, 1.84 ERA to start this year in 25 games, and you got moved up. So, you know, what was it like pitching in Lexington? What did you like best about there?
Oh, just a great coaching staff. I mean, the mound was a little flat, but you go all these places. I mean, I got family in every city we go to. Hitters, I saw a bunch of hitters that were in, the team in Asheville is pretty much the team from Grand Junction, the Rockies rookie ball to Rockies low A. It was pretty much the same team with Spanberg, and you know, Stetter, Mitch Stetter, the pitching coach,
mm-hmm.
Great guy, great coach. He helped me out throughout the whole year. You know, I just waiting for my opportunity to come to High A, and I'm blessed that I got to come here this year.
Yeah, so you've only been there for one homestand, but I was blown away by how nice Frawley Stadium in Wilmington was. I've been to every Royals affiliate now except for two, but that's my favorite one out of all of them there in Wilmington. I mean, how exciting is it to go to work there? That's got to be pretty sweet, man. That's a nice park.
No, it is, and locker room's nice and spacious. You got a nice weight room underneath the stadium. Bullpen's amazing, mound's amazing. fans are great. I think there were, I don't even know if they said a number. They did in Lexington every game, but I don't know if they said a number over the speaker in Wilmington. But, I mean, it looked like it was pretty much not full, but almost full every game that I was there.
I think they somebody at the stadium there was telling me they get like 4,000 or 5,000. I don't know if that's right, but if that's true, that's really impressive there for a high A.
That might include season ticket holders too, so I have no idea.
Yeah. I mean, they've been talking about taking that organization to double A for a few years, so at some point that might happen. Hopefully not, because I don't want the Royals to lose that. But okay, so before we let you go, then, man, we got to do 10 random rapid fire questions. Get to know you better off the field. You ready for some random questions here?
Yeah, hit me.
All right, dogs or cats? Which one do you like more?
Dogs.
Okay. Still looking for my first fellow cat lover. I know Bubba Starling loves them, but that's about it. Is there anybody in the Royals? Any of your teammates have cats? Is there anybody else out there besides me?
I have a friend from Blytheville that has a cat, loves cats.
All right.
Teaches cats how to sit and
what?
Shake, and it's very, very weird. Fetch, very weird.
Oh, goodness.
But, I mean, he does it.
That's great. I'm sure he gets all the ladies, too, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, your favorite band or singer?
The Avett Brothers out of North Carolina.
Okay. Who is it again?
The Avett Brothers.
That's country, I'm assuming, right?
Folk rock.
Okay. All right. So I hear you're an avid golfer. What's the best course you've ever played on in your best game ever?
Best course I've ever played on. Probably Columbia Country Club in Bethesda, Maryland, or Chevy Chase, Maryland.
Okay. Okay.
Yep.
What's your best score ever?
Oh, goodness. 84, 85.
Okay. I wish I could golf.
I don't play enough to – I'm probably an 18 to 20 handicap. It's not – I mean, I can play, but it's not pretty.
Okay. Now, your dad told me to ask you this. So you jump off bridges into a river? What is this story that he tells me?
So my best friend at Coastal, he's from Conway, South Carolina. Actually, two of them are from Conway, South Carolina. So they got to live at home while they were attending Coastal Carolina playing baseball.
Okay.
And one of them I duck hunt with, his name is Jordan Gore. And we take the John boat out, and there's this turn bridge that's probably, 35, 40 feet above the water, and we go out, climb up, and jump off of it. I mean, it wasn't probably wasn't smart, and Coastal fans hated it when they saw videos of it. But
oh, I'm guessing the professional contract would frown upon that, right? Those days are gone.
Yeah, I mean, if Coastal wouldn't let me, parachute out of a plane, I don't think the Royals would.
Yeah, probably not. Okay. Favorite baseball movie?
Bull Durham.
Okay. You know Tyler Zuber hasn't seen that movie, by the way?
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. We watched it every road trip my sophomore year of college.
Yeah, did you recognize the Asheville Park from being in that movie when you were in Asheville?
Yeah, I did. Yep, I did.
Okay. And I guess you missed Burlington, but Burlington Rookie Ball is some of that was filmed there too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The other one is Benchwarmers. That's also a good one.
You know what? You don't sleep on Little Big League, too. That's a good one. And For Love of the Game.
Yeah, that's true. And The Rookie. I don't know. There's a lot, but
yeah.
I think because I've watched Bull Durham so much, I think that it's my favorite.
All right. Who's your best friend in the Royals organization?
Probably Danny Urbeck. He's in Lexington, Kentucky right now.
Is that Kent's son? Kent Urbeck?
No.
Oh, it's not. Okay.
I don't think so.
Okay, I didn't know if it was the former Twins player.
I just met his dad. I don't think his name's Kent.
You'd probably know. He was like a superstar for the Twins in like the 90s and late 80s.
No. Like Danny Urbeck and Sal Biagi.
Okay.
And Daniel Tillo. Why am I not throwing it? I don't know. I got a bunch of them.
Tillo, Iowa State guy, right? Or Iowa State fan, I should say.
Yeah, Iowa, big basketball guy.
Yeah. Okay, so if you weren't a pro baseball player, what'd you major in? What kind of career would you be chasing right now?
Probably be in the military.
Okay, I respect that. What did you major in, by the way?
I majored in psychology. I tried out I tried sports management. I did not like it. Okay. Hated the history behind it. I just wanted to get into the, you know, how to be an agent. But, you know, it's, I'm just thankful I have my degree and parents that paid my way through that.
Yeah. Okay, did you collect baseball cards growing up, and how awesome is it having your own card now?
I actually didn't. I collected stamps.
Okay.
My grandma is full Italian and travels to Italy every year and sends me all these old stamps that she collects, and I want to say I have about 1,500 stamps in my room in my house.
I used to have one of those when I was like a kid, like all the different countries around the world. You have cards by now, don't you? Baseball cards?
I think I have. The Lexington Legends gave me a card of me pitching. Yeah, like a stack of cards of me pitching. Yeah.
Nice. Okay. And then
I don't think it's a true baseball card.
Oh, it counts, doesn't it? It counts.
I mean, I don't think other people can buy it. I think you have to have other people buying it to be a baseball card.
Oh, okay.
Right?
All right. Well, yeah, well, I guess. All right, technicalities here. Okay, so before we let you go, then my last thing for you is what would you like to say to all the Royals fans listening right now?
I thank you for this opportunity. I mean, hopefully I see all y'all in Kansas City next year. But, you know, I'm just blessed to have this opportunity to play in Idaho, to play in Arizona, to play in Lexington, now in Wilmington, Delaware. Hopefully I get to see Northwest Arkansas and Omaha again. I mean, I'm sure Omaha might remember me, but no, I'm excited to keep on this journey, and all those fans, can't wait to see y'all.
Yeah, well, we appreciate your time. Obviously, I look forward to catching up with you again maybe next year here on the show. And, you know, congratulations belatedly on getting drafted and all the success moving up. I was pretty impressed, you know, seeing you throw in person in Wilmington last week. So we'll definitely be pulling for you. I know a lot of Royals fans listening will be looking forward to seeing you throw in Arkansas, Omaha, and eventually KC, man. So keep up the great work. Take care. God bless. And hopefully we'll catch up with you later.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
All right, man. Thanks so much.
Yep.